How many believe God chooses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? I want to talk to you on bow down to authority, because Satan cannot stand authority. Look what this verse says in Luke 10:17 before we pray. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Do you know the demons of hell are subject to Jesus? How many are glad about that? Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd speak through this message. Help us to love authority because Satan hates it. And I pray that you would speak to every heart in this service today and in the morning service and in the evening service. Give me the words you want me to say today. And we'll go out of here knowing you spoke and not Holmes. In Jesus' name, amen. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Do you know that Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High God, and God kicked him out of heaven, and because of God's authority, Satan cannot stand authority. And by the way, he fell as lightning. How many believe when God decides to do something, it can happen like a lightning bolt? It can happen instantly. And so who has gone into heaven, speaking of Jesus, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And because they're made subject unto him, they cannot stand authority. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And how many would agree we have weak nations right now when homosexuals march down the streets of our country holding up posters that God is gay? How many believe we're in a weak nation right now? How many believe God is holy? But you see, the devil was kicked out of heaven because he said, I want to be like the Most High. Now, I serve a risen Savior who has authority. Christ had the authority to send Satan right out of heaven. Now, understand this. I got thinking about this, being from New England. Why is it that so many people will accept a religion of works and reject grace? I mean, grace is amazing. That God would say to me that I don't have to say 50 Hail Marys to go to heaven. How many are glad Jesus paid it all? Now, a monk sat in a chair for 37 years trying to pay for his sins and the sins of his relatives. So he sat in a chair for 37 years. And people will go to and accept religions of works like this and sit in a chair 37 years. And then when somebody preaches on the cross and grace, they'd rather accept works. And I got thinking, why would they? Why would somebody want to accept a system where they have to do something to earn heaven when Jesus paid the full price? And it comes down to the subject today. Jesus said, you must be born again, right? Think of this. That's authority telling a person that you have to come his way or you don't get there. In other words, you must be born again has authority to it. Now, understand that salvation is God telling a person how they must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the authority says to a man, I have the plan of salvation, and you may think you do, but I got the plan already organized. How many are glad God's plan is the only thing that works? Now, that's authority telling man, you must come my way or you don't make it. Well, I don't want authority telling me how to be saved. I want to come up with my own religion of how I think I have to merit salvation. And God says, no, I have paid the price. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. How many believe that's a statement of authority? And see, people don't want authority. They don't want somebody telling them what they must do. We will not have this man reign over us. We don't want Jesus preaching to us. And it's amazing that people will swear with everybody else's name except, I mean, they don't swear with the name Buddha. You've never heard anybody slam their finger and go, oh, for Buddha's sakes. Confucius. Pastor Smith. Yeah, you've heard that. But they always use the name Jesus because he confronts sin, and people don't want to bow and say, I'm a sinner and I need grace. It all has to do with authority, doesn't it? A nun went into a cloistered convent, got in a casket for 24 hours, and that shows they're going to die to the world, and they live in a cloistered convent for the rest of their life. And a nun got saved by a janitor bringing a tract to that convent. She said, they hung me up by my thumbs trying to pay for our sins. We would lick crosses on the cement till our tongue bleeds. I am so glad Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Can you say you're glad that Jesus paid the price, yes or no? But why is it that people don't accept that? Because of the subject of authority. We do not want this man reigning over us. Listen to this. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What does the word declaring mean? It means make a declaration. We ought to make a declaration. Now, declaration is not a suggestion, it is a command. And how many believe we serve a God who has given us commandments? In fact, the very Bible is called commandments, and that has the word command in it. Well, don't give me a preacher who tells me how to live. Just give me a message where I can kind of sleep if I want to. I have made a declaration. It says, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Not may I suggest to you something that might help you. How many are glad you got a preacher that preaches the Bible? How many are glad you got a preacher who believes in the word of God, not the word of suggestion? May I suggest this? May I give you a thought tonight that may or may not help you? One guy even got up and he said, preach on sin, but don't name it. Now, how would you do that? Something comes from South America, you put it under your lips and you smoke it, or you stick it in your arm through a needle. I can't tell you what it is, but those of you who can figure it out, please be careful. There is a place in America where they have a lot of cameras and they point naughty people in Hollywood, you know, and so forth and so on. And on your dates, treat each other with respect. How about flee fornication? How about authority? Then he says, stay away from certain subjects that might offend too much. I had a lady in Maine get real mad at me. I mean, the harder I preached, the madder she got. And how many believe I should preach no matter what people do in the audience? She'd throw her arms back. Oh, my wife was right behind her. When others were shaking my hand, she didn't shake my hand. She said, you made me sick. I didn't know what to say. I said, I'm sorry you're not feeling well tonight. I didn't know what to say. You know, and then they say, just speak, you know, kind of generally and let the Holy Spirit speak specifically. If you study the sermons in the Bible, they did not do that. Everybody's neighing after his neighbor's wife like fed horses in the morning. That's pretty specific. Stay away from subjects that are too specific. Like, love not the world, amen. How about love not booze? Hate sin, good preaching. How about this? Hate the dirty playboy philosophy that's killing our kids. Stay away from iniquity, good preaching. How about this? Stay away from being alone in a car with a girl. Stay away from the things like Amy Grant, who said, I use sex appeal to get the gospel out with the name Jesus attached to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel doesn't limp along until Amy Grant uses sex appeal to build credibility to the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. How many of you believe that Amy Grant is teaching the young people, when she says, I've got to use sex appeal to get the gospel out, she is actually saying to them that the gospel doesn't have enough power in it, watch me. And it makes me mad that we've gone away from the authority of the word of God. Now, if you're glad for it, you shouldn't just be saying amen, you ought to be saying amen. How many are glad for this church? How many of you are glad for the sign on the front of the church? Well, this isn't going to reach our generation. One youth director said, we're finally reaching them now without preaching, now that we have all these Christian bands. Amazing. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. Whatever happened to bowing down and admitting God is over us? God has the only way. We don't have the way. God has the way. Listen to this. Who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Psalm 12:4. May I announce? He's Lord over us. I am the first of all. I am the first and the last. God says, I'm the final authority, not you. I'm the highest one. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word and marked his word and heard it? In other words, who starts out with God? Who starts out with the Bible? Who starts out with the authority of God? Who starts out with thus saith the Lord? Who builds his life on thus saith the Lord? And who follows his foundation that doesn't cause him to sink like everybody else? Who starts not with the denominational headquarters, but who starts with God? Who says infant baptism isn't how it is because no babies were baptized in the Bible and the Bible is our authority and that's what we stand on? Well, you say all these churches confuse people. I know, because we've gone away from authority, and that's what the devil hates. He doesn't like the authority of Scripture. If you don't see it in the Bible, why do it? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats. Because we want to be seen higher than God, because we're doing things that God doesn't even do. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts and your thoughts. The Lord thundered in the heaven, and the highest gave his voice, and hail and stones, coals of fire. Glory to God in the highest, we sing at Christmas time. Who goes to the highest one? Who goes to the highest one? He must increase, I must decrease. Who goes to the highest one and says, I'm glad we don't follow the trends of the day. I'm glad we got a preacher that believes in the word of God and the authority of it. And we don't have to go where there's 20,000 people having all these rock concerts and they get up and suggest the Bible in their messages and they don't preach, because I'm going to tell you, the demons of hell cannot stand God's authority. They hate his authority. Listen to these verses. I just love using the Bible. Because how many believe the Bible is more exciting than anything I can say? So listen to this. I will praise the Lord according to the righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord most high. Psalm 7:17. Psalm 9:2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee and sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. I will cry unto my God most high. High, that performeth all things for me. And they sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they remembered that God was their rock and the High God their Redeemer. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name. Let them be confounded and troubled forever and put to shame and perish, that men might know whose name alone is Jehovah, art Most High over all the earth. One lady got up, she teaches sex education in the schools. She said, nobody from up on high determines your behavior, only you do. That's why you got to watch what sites your kids are going to on the internet. And by the way, the Most High God is over Dr. Phil. How many believe that? The Most High has something to say when he teaches spanking children, though the Dr. Phil says that we ought not spank our children. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils for a long time and wore no clothes. Isn't it interesting that demon worship was shown by people not wearing clothes? How many believe we got a demon-possessed nation right now? I mean, listen to this. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, thou Son of God Most High? torment us not. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of the person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. How many? I want you to yell out the word high God. Say it. Say it again. That's what the devil doesn't want. He wants a God he can look eye to eye at and said, I'll be like the Most High. And people who follow the devil say the same thing. Well, I believe there's one higher than our belief system. Well, you say, I see it this way. The Most High sees it another way. I think homosexual marriages ought to be allowed, but the Most High says, thou shalt not lie with man as with women. It's an abomination. They'll surely be put to death. Well, I think it's fanatical for Christians to be faithful to church all the time the doors are open. But the Most High says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, I believe it's not showing love when a pastor teaches to separate from false religions. But the Most High says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Can you say amen? Well, I believe it doesn't show love when you preach preach against sin. But the Most High says, preach and rebuke and exhort with all authority. Withhold not correction from the child. Thou beatest him with a rod. He shall not die, because it teaches authority. And it teaches that they can't get away with sin. Well, I think it's critical to judge other religions. But the Most High says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. How many believe what God says is what we ought to do? Well, they're not doing it over there where they have 10,000 people. Can I ask you a question? Where in the world do you find in the Bible that numbers means everything? There are men who have been great men in our independent Baptist movements who always say, how many are you running? As if the amount of people in a church means spirituality. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, and I am blessed and honored to be in a pulpit of a pastor who has been so faithful over the years. How many of you are glad for this church that has a man of God that's been faithful? Not faithful to build a mega church necessarily with 20,000 people by compromising, but faithful to the word of the Most High! What about the Most High? Does he matter to you? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that we have preached, let him be accursed. The highest one is what matters. Well, Dr. So-and-so, who leads pastors in America, says, don't be so confrontational in your preaching. But the Most High says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face, because he was to be blamed. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they might be sound in the faith, Titus 1:13. So the Most High has something to say more than the big successful image person does. The highest one says, well, I just don't think you ought to preach on issues like alcohol and fornication on a Christmas program. The Most High says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I've told you before and told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How many are glad for what the Most High says? And if people need to hear the word of God, because that's what brings conviction, otherwise it's a false convert. One of the most amazing things is that the highest one became lowly for me. I have a whole message that I preach on God came down to earth, so why can't Christians be down to earth? Instead of their Pharisaical noses in the air. If the Most High can come down to earth, can't you be down to earth and go to a gym where unsaved people are and let's try to reach this whole town? How many would like it if we could fill up one of the largest auditoriums in this area and preach the gospel? I'd love to get in all the schools and then preach the truth. You know, it's amazing. The Most High became lowly. God exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And by the way, if you won't bow now, you'll bow down soon. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. So Hitler, you're going to bow one day. Elvis Presley, you're going to bow and look up and say, you're King of Kings. And the Beatles, who said Jesus Christ is a garlic-eating, stinking, little yellow fascist Spaniard, are going to come out of those graves and they're going to say, you're Lord! The Most High is what matters. The Most High is what matters. The Most High is what matters. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? One day it's over. One day you can't mock him anymore. One day it's over. And people think they're getting away with sin, but it's over soon. How many believe we're approaching that day very quickly? Listen close. Boy, I can't believe it's 20 of already. Can I go to 10 of? Okay. Listen close, because I believe Satan hates what I'm preaching right now. The Most High cannot stand us looking up to him. Why was Christ born? Why fall on your knees? Why is it a night divine? Why is it a holy night? Why is it a thrill of hope that a weary world can rejoice? Because the Most High came down to earth and became lowly for us. Why was the baby laying in a manger get the attention of the world? Because that's the highest one there. Why can I go to these public schools all across America and say Jesus Christ is not a curse word, but he's my Savior, and see ovations like a Super Bowl game? And we'll show the video tonight again, maybe before I preach, and you'll see when I say Jesus Christ, the whole public school goes wild clapping. You'd think it was a revival meeting. Why was it a silent night? Why was all bright? Because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now we need to bow to his authority. Now listen to this. We also need to submit to God's man. I have a sermon that I preach, probably use it during the revival if God leads me down the road, where I preach that don't expect green pastures unless you follow your earthly shepherd. Because the great shepherd places the earthly shepherd over the flock, right? Now it's getting specific. Now the amens are going to get a little less, because now we're not preaching on Dr. Phil, we're preaching on you. If you're not willing to bow down to your commander and your chief and the person who God has put here and placed here to be the under-shepherd, a war is never won when soldiers want to go their own way and do their own thing. Every church needs the pastor. And players, listen, we need to understand this, that a pastor's authority is Bibleism. Now, he will admit that there's no infallibility here, but there still is the man of God that we beseech you, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves, because there cannot be any peace in the church unless we follow the under-shepherd. Don't expect green pastures unless you follow the earthly shepherd. Don't expect still waters, expect rough waters. Well, we want to do our own thing, and we'll be like our little clique, and we'll believe in coming up with our own doctrine that doesn't just quite align with everything pastor preaches. So, I don't know why I'm saying this. I asked the Lord when I was sitting here, God, if there's something you want me to say that's not in my notes, I'm going to say it. And right now, I feel like I'm saying something. I don't know if it's a warning for something that's happening or might happen, but how many believe the devil hates this church? And he'll try to split the church apart. So, what we've got to have is a unified soldiers that say we have one overseer. Not many overseers. One shepherd that God has led to us. And I must honor and submit, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit, which means be like a submarine and go down under and look up and say, he's directing, God's leading him. By the way, when a pastor takes authority, many leave churches. And by leaving the local church that is no longer under the discipline of the church, I know a church where 40 families that were there over 20 years left the church because the pastor had to exercise church discipline, and everybody decided to go with the family that was disgruntled because they were friends of the family for years. Ladies and gentlemen, we are following the Bible, not our friends. Who begins with God? Who sees God, not the million-dollar budgets? Who sees God and says, preach, even if we lose a wealthy person? Where's God today? I mean, I even said this in one church. I said, you know, so many churches have left the King James Version, and they've gone to some of these versions that say, instead of God was manifest in the flesh, he was manifest in the flesh. And I said, why doesn't that one thing alone settle the whole issue? Why do we have to go into all this investigation of textual this and textual that? Just look at the fact that the deity of Christ is being minimized and say, that settles it. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you why. Because they're submitting to the authority of a Bible college, and they're kind of like being more loyal to the Bible college than God's word, and that's sick. How many believe this is our authority, not a Bible college? Right? I mean, even in Malachi, it says Jesus was everlasting to everlasting. How many believe Jesus never had a beginning? Let me ask it again. How many believe Jesus always was, is, and always will be? Guess what it says in the modern text? Whose origins... You check it out in the NIV. It says that Jesus had an origin. Jesus had no beginning. That's blasphemy. And that should settle it and keep me from sending my kids to Bible colleges where they minimize it and say, well, the version issue is splitting so many Christians and the devil's using it, so let's just not deal with it. Let's just preach the best version and let the dust settle. Just preach the best. Jesus is not the best Savior. He's the only Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Neither is there salvation. And Jesus is the Word. And he says, don't add or take away from it because you're performing surgery on me. So it's not just a minor issue, it's a serious issue. And we're to submit to authority of the Word of God when it's preached. You say, I wasn't expecting this from a volleyball player. By the way, I'm going to ask that you pray for me about something. In 1985, I got brokenhearted for a world that needed the gospel. I had a terrible back problem. My back would hurt so bad that I had to have two men help me into church. And if somebody would have told me that I was going to play 16,000 volleyball games in front of 3 million people, I would have died. Absolutely died. But when I went to a chiropractor, he said, start playing volleyball just to get rid of your back problem. It'll help you to exercise, because I didn't have a degenerative disc. I just was a pinched nerve from being out of shape. So I started playing a guy in the backyard, and I started feeling better. So everywhere I went to preach, I'd take on people after the services. I'd say, would you come in the gym and play me? So six men came in at once. I said, well, this isn't one person. There's six of you there. And I said, let me just take all of you on. So I took all six of them on. Little did I ever dream that my broken heart for wanting to get the gospel to the world. And by the way, how many believe the gospel is greater than a cure to cancer? Because cancer is only for a few seconds. The gospel is eternity, right? So I prayed, God, I got to get the answer that's greater than cancer out to the world, right? And I guarantee if you found the answer to cancer, you'd want to tell the world about it. Am I right? Soul winning ought to be people that just have to get the message out. Like, I found a cure to cancer. People don't have to die and suffer and suffocate in their own lung disease. And I want to tell them the answer. We got the answer forever. So I was praying, God, I got to do more than just preach to a few lost people that's showing up in a church. And I started getting to beat teams. It all kind of evolved in answer to the prayer. And now all of a sudden, God had opened up schools all across America. 5,000 of them now. That's not humanly possible, but how many believe if God calls you to something, he can enable you to do it? And I literally live in a gym now since 1985. I started as an evangelist in 78, And then in 1985, I started traveling in the schools along with the revivals. Now, how many believe the preaching that I'm doing today is needed, right? Authority is needed. Would you agree? And because I'm called to preach, and God had begun opening up the one-man volleyball as a tool to get in schools and have a rally and give you a chance to say to a lost person, come see one guy play our police department and fire department and Dallas Cowboys, and then fill up an arena. So it gives you a chance to get an unsaved person to an event. Now, understand, when I come next year, it is not a teenage outreach. It is a community outreach, and all of us need to invite the lost to it. I mean, I want to hear a louder amen than that. If you are 5 years old or 80, they go to the Globetrotters game, but the Globetrotters don't preach the gospel. How many believe if a guy comes in to preach the gospel using an exhibition, we ought to all be involved in it? So I began using the exhibition to get unsaved to the rallies. 30,000 hands have gone up for salvation since the 9/11 tragedy. It is a miracle. I had 137 games in 2 weeks before Christmas. 137 games, I'm 52 years old. The only explanation to this is God, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. How many believe that? Amen. Now, listen to this. Since I started the volleyball, I can go to conferences all the time. For example, I was at Eric Capace's conference. I was at the GSA, God Save America. And I was at Bobby Robertson's. There were 200 or 300 churches represented there. And do you know that in all of the conferences that I've been in, I have been seen as the volleyball guy? I'm called to preach. And the devil has used the image. Now, I'm glad God has opened up lost people. That's an answer to prayer to me, to be in front of 3 million people. But you probably can sense that I love to preach, because I believe God chooses the foolishness of preaching, right? Because it exalts the Most High when you preach and don't suggest in the pulpit, right? But now I'm being seen as the volleyball guy. One pastor even said to another guy that was recommending me to his church, that volleyball guy's a Christian? Here's what I need your prayers for. When I go to conferences like those, I think I got 3 invitations from all those conferences. Because a lot of guys will say, why do I need some volleyball guy coming to my church? Then if they finally agree to have the volleyball guy in, why should I give up my pulpit? Do you see what Satan's doing to try to stop me from preaching what I'm preaching right now? I need your prayers. Because I want this country to hear the word of God. That's what matters. Because if I go in and do school assemblies and just speak on drugs and alcohol and don't have the churches behind evening rallies, it's a waste of time. Because those young people can try to stop drugs, but they'll never stop drugs unless Jesus comes in their heart and changes them. Right? So thank God for authority. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank you so much that the word of God is authority. How many would say today, I recognize today, like I've never seen it before, that Satan hates authority, and because he hates it, I want to love it. Raise your hands. And the next time my pastor steps on my toes, I'm going to tell him, thank you. I love you for telling me the truth, because you're over me as an under-shepherd. Would you pray right now, God, help me to love the man of God and to love the word of God and to love the authority of God that he represents, and to thank God that I hear it faithfully preached. And though we may not see 15,000 or 40,000 people as Joel Osteen sees, who says he doesn't preach on hell and judgment, though we don't see a civic arena filled up with our church service, we're thankful for the man of God who preaches the highest one. With that in mind, I'm going to ask the pastor to close the Sunday school.
We're going to dismiss the Sunday school hour and give you an opportunity to go to the restrooms and get a drink of water so you can come back in and be a part of the worship service.